When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the NBA. LeBron is back, but the Lakers are not better than ever. Oh, what an opening night. We've got it covered. Meanwhile, it's all getting away from Jerry and Dak in Dallas. But we've got one move they can make today to change everything. And then wait till you hear what Coach Prime has to say about the sign-stealing scandal at Michigan. Oh, it's going to get spicy in Ann Arbor. Let's do this thing, folks. It's a Wednesday, and it's time to get up started right now. The sun hath risen, and we are delighted to be here. And I'm very pleased to welcome, among everybody else, the new voice of the New York Knicks. So proud, unbelievable. Let's do it. We got tons of hoops. We got tons of football, but we begin with Game 7, Philadelphia last night. They've been playing baseball in Philly since 1883, and this was their first ever Game 7, top of five, 2-1 Phils, one on Corbin Carroll facing Ranger Suarez, who's been so good, but not here. Carroll right back up the middle, Emmanuel Rivera will score. Carroll in with a single, we're tied up at two. Next batter, Gabriel Moreno. Going the other way, they're picking away. Carroll comes around to score. Diamondbacks take a 3-2 lead. Moreno caught between first and second, so he's out, but the damage done. We go bottom of seven, and here's your moment. It's 4-2 Diamondbacks, two on, two out for Bryce Harper, who's been so good in this postseason. This was his moment, but he's under it. Kevin Ginkle gets him to fly out to center field. 0-for-4 Harper on this night. Arizona holds the 4-2 lead to the bottom of the ninth. Two out. Here we go. The Diamondbacks one out away from the World Series. And there it is. Paul Sewald getting Jake Cave to fly out harmlessly to right field. And it's over. Improbably, incredibly, the Diamondbacks are on their way to the World Series, a team that no one believed in, and Evan Longoria knows that.
If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. Like, we've been the underdog this whole year. You know, we came into the season, you know, behind the Dodgers, behind the Padres, behind the Giants. You know, nobody believed that we could do what we did. You know, when we got into the playoffs, it was like, it was a charity case, you know, like nobody's, you know, believing we can do what we did.
And that's going to continue. The Rangers are the favorites to win the World Series after being 50-1 to win entering the season. The Diamondbacks are plus 155 to win the series after being 125-1. This is the first World Series since 1991 where both teams were at least 50-1 entering the season. So we have a stunning matchup in the World Series, and more on that as we go. Meanwhile, the NBA's opening night last night, and we've got Wendy and Monica here for all the insight. Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets getting the bling, raising the banner, while LeBron James, Wendy, begins season number 21.
He's seen some ring nights both ways.
That's right. He prefers when he's getting them. In the meantime, it's Nikola Jokic working on Anthony Davis early. The Nuggets opening the early lead, and then Monica, Anthony Davis very good in the first half.
Yes, this is the Anthony Davis that is going to be key if the Lakers are going to be successful, but you know how AD goes.
Yeah, and he had 17 points in the first half and none in the second. Meanwhile, here comes LeBron the other way.
9 of 10 in the paint in this game was a freight train going to the rim.
Lakers down by 9 at halftime. 7 minutes to go in the third. Nuggets up by 6. We're running. Jamal, throw it up. Aaron Gordon, throw it down.
Come on, man. Gordon, Jokic, Murray, all intact. This team is poised to defend what they started last year.
One hand left. Hand, jam. Nuggets by 8. Now we're a minute to go in the third. It's a 12-point game. LeBron in the lane. That's up and good. It's a 7-point game. They're hanging around. but the Nuggets had too much in the fourth quarter. Christian Brown looking for Jokic, who had a very casual triple-double on the night.
I mean, 11 assists, right? 16 rebounds, whatever the crazy number it was. He's picking up where he left off. Optimus Dime.
29 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists to be exact for Jokic, who barely even appeared to break a sweat. Working it over to Michael Porter in the corner. Nuggets win the opener, 119-107. LeBron James played 29 minutes. Let's talk.
At the end of the day, we didn't win, but I think for me, my performance and what I did individually in the time that I was out there, I think I was productive. I think so. I mean, I was a plus 7 for the game. No turnovers, so I like the no turnovers more than anything. So
what's he saying there? I mean, Wendy, you've known him since he was in high school. He played 29 minutes. There's a lot of talk suddenly about a minutes restriction from Darvin Ham, his coach. What did we hear there from LeBron?
Yeah, so they talked about in the preseason about how they were going to try to manage LeBron a little bit because he hasn't been able to finish some of these seasons with injuries. But I don't think any of us saw him getting under 30 minutes in the opener. This is apparently what they agreed on. LeBron didn't act like this was anything that he didn't expect. But he was the Lakers' best player in this game. And to see him out there for only 29 minutes was kind of shocking. You know, I've heard LeBron talk about minutes many times over the course of his career, and he has really enforced that the number of minutes per game is less stressful than the amount of ramp up and cool down that he has. So this is a real departure. And it looks to me like the Lakers are trying to lean into their depth because they only played Austin Reeves 31 minutes in this game, and he's like in his early 20s. So I don't know if the Lakers, the idea to hold these minutes of everybody down is going to last a long time.
What do you think, Monica?
Wendy, you know you're one of my favorites to talk with because you come at it very rational. But this is the first game.
Yeah.
Like, it's 29 minutes in game one. I'm not going to make too much out of this. What I will say, and I think we all can agree, is LeBron clearly is a goal-oriented basketball player, and we know what he ultimately wants to achieve. If it means 29 minutes till, I don't know, mid-January, and then things pick up, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But I just think at this point in his career, everything is on the table. We know how much he invests in his body. And if this is what it looks like in year 21, then eventually we'll all get with it.
Here's what I'll say. I'm not the least bit worried about LeBron. They'll figure it out.
Yep.
I am worried about Anthony Davis. 0 points in the second half. So it seems he's picking up exactly where he left off in the Western Conference Finals.
That is not the shoot six threes mentality that Darvin Ham is talking about, right? Like, we could go back and forth whether or not you thought that would literally take that amount of threes, but it certainly spoke to a mentality. He is going to have to be the aggressor on both sides of the ball, in both halves of the ball game and every quarter of the ball game. And I'm not quite sure what it's going to take for him to get there. I have let go of maybe the Anthony Davis superstar that people once had. Not that he's not a top 15 player in this league, but I just think there's a level of aggression, and it may not always translate to tons of scoring, but no scoring?
If they're going to play LeBron less than 30 minutes, which I don't think is going to last, Anthony Davis cannot play like this. Now, he did get double-teamed a little bit in this second half, and they got to be a little bit more creative in dealing with that, because when he went head-to-head with Jokic, he had some success. But if you're going to play those guys that minutes, Austin Reeves at 31 minutes, LeBron at 29 minutes, Anthony Davis has got to be a beast. And we saw in the playoffs last year, he would have one good offensive game, one bad offensive game. And this, we saw one good offensive half,
right.
One bad offensive half.
Right. So he's in midseason form in that regard. So very quickly, to sort of finish it up, we've seen the Lakers tooling up. We've seen the Suns tooling up. And we'll show their highlights a little later. Bunch of other good teams. The Nuggets made a statement last night, right? You all can do whatever you want. We are the team.
I have seen some real duds laid by the guys getting the rings. This happened many times. They were not going to let that happen. They took the lead with 8 minutes to go in the first quarter. And that was it. They took the Lakers down. They looked terrific. They looked on point. They looked in rhythm. No championship hangover whatsoever in this game.
I mean, to add to that, I think the way that Jokic is the head of the snake sort of dictates everything, right? Game not predicated on athleticism, just going to pivot, pump fake, pass, shoot, not really jump and be explosive. And so I think there is a level-headed nature to this team even when they're locked in.
Someone yelled at me that they have third best analytics odds to win the championship this year. Is it Boston and Milwaukee ahead of them? Who is it that we have decided has a better chance to win the title this year? Maybe it's because they're in the East. I'm going to get that number for you as soon as I can, because that's a surprising number to me. I would think they would be the favorites to run it back this year. All right, you guys stay close. Much more. We got Steph Curry highlights coming a little later, but Let's get the NFL crew back in here. The first 7 weeks of the season have come and gone. Let's go through what we have learned so far. Jeff Saturday, what is your one big picture takeaway 7 weeks into the season?
Parity reigns in the NFL. We got no idea. Eagles, Niners, Lions, Seattle, and the Cowboys on the NFC side. Chiefs, Ravens, Dolphins, Jags, Bills on the AFC. No, there are no runaway favorites. You've seen each team look very vulnerable. I like the way the season's shaping up to have a lot of fun late in the season.
Do you agree with that, Dominique?
Absolutely. I do agree with that. And I also think that the teams around these players is more important than you normally think. But, yeah, it feels like the league is wide open right now. It feels like anybody can – or every time somebody takes the lead, they're the team that gets knocked off next.
Except for one. And that brings us to Swagoos, because I asked what your big picture takeaway was, and I think it is a response to this.
That sure is Boo Boo Stank. Kansas City Chiefs, man. Listen, they are the constant in the NFL. And I know we want to find things. I think the Baltimore Ravens last Sunday, they play that way. You think they could beat anybody. But until further notice, okay, Patrick Mahomes, this offense, Andy Reid, and now a top five defense in the NFL is the surest thing that you can pick in order to win a Super Bowl or to be in the Super Bowl. So
right?
I'm going to stop fighting it, what? And I'm going to just see if it happens.
It's like low-hanging fruit, man. Patrick Mahomes,
no,
yes, it is.
You just sat there and said,
hey, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
We got
they
all
lost to the Lions. They lost.
Yeah,
who do they
sure
beat?
Did.
Who
sure
they
did.
Beat? You know, the Jags, the best team they beat.
For the record.
I give
and they lost.
Them benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's
yeah.
Because
let
of Mahomes.
Let me do my take.
Because of Mahomes. Because of Mahomes.
Absolutely.
That's it.
It does say Jeff reacts. So I think we're good with that.
Yes.
Here's the other thing. They lost to the Lions by one point without Travis Kelce and without Chris Jones. The one thing that they are is stunningly Kelce-reliant, right? If you told me right now that Kelce would be healthy when the season comes to an end, then I'm 100% on Swagoo's side. Who is next? Neek, what have you learned through 7 weeks?
With the exception of Patrick Mahomes and his stinkless boo-boo, I would say that quarterback play matters less than it has in the past. Because you look at the teams that are good, all teams that are good are complete teams. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of teams with great quarterbacks that aren't very good, like the Bills, the Chargers, the Bengals, the Rams. You look at the teams that are on top of this thing, the Dolphins, the Eagles, the 49ers, Seahawks, Lions, Ravens, even the Falcons. They're a team that are competitive, leading their division, that look really good. And what matters is the context, the coaching, and the players around these quarterbacks. It's how you build a team when you don't got a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
You agree with that?
I agree with that. And the other thing is this. Like, looking at the NFL now, this is why the season is exciting for guys like us. It's why when I was covering college, I used to be like, all right, well, we just wait until Alabama get to the national championship and then we'll figure it out. I love that about the NFL this year in particular. And it is the year where we're starting to see defenses have the opportunity to win games.
Absolutely.
And it's been a long time since we talked about it in that regard.
And we have one more. Greeny, what's the one thing you've learned through seven games? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm actually going to be much more specific. Mike Tomlin is as good a coach as this league has seen in recent memory. This team has Tomlined its way to 4-2, and for the life of me, I have no idea how. How do they win games? They're so bad. I'm sorry to say it. They've got like three good players. They're all on defense. Their offense is unwatchable, and they are 4-2. Mike Tomlin is an elite coach, and we need to say that out loud every day.
I'm glad you said it, G. And you know what the other thing is about the Pittsburgh Steelers, man? That like they're like the stanky kid growing up in the hood. You know he can fight.
Yeah.
But you also know he stinks. So you think he has some vulnerability about it, right? Like you could talk about how he smells. Yeah. You could talk about his mama, where he come from. Don't get in the ring with him. Y'all know that dude. Stop looking at me like you don't know that dude.
That's why I'm laughing.
I'm telling you, bro. That's who they are. You get in a fight with them and you realize, damn, they didn't look good. They offense sucked. Yeah. They can't move the ball at times. And you look up in the fourth quarter, damn, we down
that's
three.
Right. That's right.
Like, that's who they are.
Everybody used to call him P.P. Greg behind his back. Ain't nobody want to square up with P.P. Greg.
What? That's
who they
are.
They come out there, they're not dressed that well, but they will whoop you, and they have been figuring out. And at the end of games, they loosen up the offense, which I think some people would like them to do that earlier with Kenny Pickett, but maybe they see a little something. In Matt Canada's defense, they are finding a way to win these games. The offense looks
ugly early on, but then they get late in the game and they're like, all right, pick it. And throw that thing up there.
This is long, exactly where Greeny thought this was going.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And as long as you got number 90, TJ Watt over there, don't let it get out of hand.
Yeah.
Because the play coming.
For sure.
The play that needs to be made is coming
unreal.
For him to change the game.
It is
one thing I've learned from this conversation. Don't mess with P.P. Gray. All right. As we continue, does Jerry need to get Dak some help before the trade deadline? The answer is yes, and we'll tell you who it is. But you've heard what Deion had to say about Michigan's sign-stealing scandal. Is he right? We'll answer that
P.P. Gray
as we continue in a moment. P.P. Greg, a washing machine stat.
You better talk about it.
Don't tell him. Poor P.P. Gray.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Shorzy. New season October 27th. Streaming only on Hulu. All right, our next game is called One Call Away. We are 6 days to the trade deadline. Neek, which team should be making a call to the Giants about Saquon Barkley?
I think it's the Ravens. If the Giants are going to move on, I think back to last year when the 49ers got Christian McCaffrey and it changed that offense. Ooh. Right now, we know how good the Ravens are. We know how talented Lamar Jackson is. You might be surprised to know that their zone read is the worst that it's ever been. It's still really good, but it's the worst that it's been under Lamar Jackson. Add Saquon to that damn thing. See what happened to it.
I will say this.
Good damn thing.
Swagoo, I'm going to say this to you.
Yeah.
We just talked about how Kansas City, no one can beat them, all of that. If the Ravens got Saquon Barkley, they would be the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, they'd be the favorite to win it.
Yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. Because of dynamic playmaking of Saquon. Could you imagine that backfield with him and Lamar?
Back it would be the biggest trade of the season. If any, you know, better than what the Eagles just did, if they had that pickup, it would be the biggest trade of the season.
Talk to me about it. Like, what would make that what would it look like?
To their point, the zone read, right? The hesitation as Barkley is slow to the hole anyway, so as he's such a patient runner, as Lamar would ride that read and be able to see the end would have to commit.
Pick your boys.
One way or the other. Yeah. And then think about him in the screen game and the dump-off game out of the backfield. He is electric with the ball in his hand.
With the way that Zay Flowers is playing and the receivers are playing right now, it really feels like right now, it honestly feels like when the Ravens are on, that there is no answer for it.
Right.
Add somebody else like that that can take a run play 60 yards.
I'm not going to be too dismissive of what they did to Detroit, bro.
Yeah.
Like Detroit was bullying people.
Absolutely.
In line of scrimmage game. The Ravens looked like they were in another class than the Detroit Lions, which is very impressive, man.
So you do this trade for a second round pick to the Giants?
Sure.
I mean, did it. Done.
The Giants are going to get a third round pick if Barkley leaves at the end of this season anyway.
Right.
So you have to offer them something more than that. If you're the Ravens, a second round pick makes all the sense in the world. How about Devontae Adams? Who should call right now to the Raiders?
Well, the Chiefs should really be the call, but there's no way that the Raiders would trade somebody in the division. But I'm going to go Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. I think about with Diggs, the way he's playing, all of a sudden you put a second guy in there that can really elevate your game. The way that Adams plays the game, I mean, this guy takes the noise to the defense. And I just think his explosiveness with Josh Allen gives them a second layer of this offense, and they need some explosive plays in Buffalo because the run game hasn't caught up.
The Buffalo's a very old team, and it feels like the window is closing on them. If anybody needs to go all in, it's them. They've been struggling to find a second option, whether it be the running game, whether it be a tight end, whether it be another receiver. You got to find somebody after Stephon Diggs to take some of the pressure off.
Well, but that would be my question. Stephon Diggs always seems to be teetering on the edge of not getting enough balls thrown his way as it is. How do you think that would work if all of a sudden Devontae is?
Well, you'll find out if winning a championship is the most important
thing. Sure. Look,
Stephon is going to get his numbers. They'll throw it enough, but you'll find, like, this move is something Stephon Diggs should champion.
Yes.
Right? Like, give him more opportunities as well. It'll be more about quality over quantity in this particular situation. And to your point, Jeff, they are going to have to start putting points up. This defense is so compromised without Milano and Tre'Davious White. Yep. It's unfortunate for the Bills. Matt Milano was their most important player on defense. And to lose him, now you got to shift your way of thinking and say, look, we're going to try to put 40 on the board every time as opposed to stopping people.
Hey, let me say this real quick.
Yeah.
I played on a team with two Hall of Fame receivers, Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it benefits. Like, receivers talk about getting – everybody gets it because you can throw it more because you can't double cover everybody, man. And you got good tight ends already in Buffalo.
Yep.
This thing would open up. It would be a huge addition for them.
One more quickly. Maybe Derrick Henry could be had for the right price. Who should be making that call, Swagger?
Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys. And Embo sent me something about Tony Pollard. He was averaging 6 yards a carry in the fourth quarter last year. It's down to 3. Look, we talked about, can the workload be his detriment?
That's
I think it is. I don't think the physical nature of what you need to do down in and down out, the way Mike McCarthy wants to play, he talked about it at the beginning of the season. Yep. You want to be able to close out games. Well, guess who closes out games?
Preach.
Derrick Henry. All right. And then, two, Dak has thrived more in his career with a physical back. I know, like, we go to Zeke, but think about how well this passing game was, how well the offensive line was when they had a hammer out of the backfield.
Yeah.
I think he's a perfect fit and could take them to that equation of the top in the NFC.
Red zone problem solved.
100%.
Red zone problem solved, right? We talk about like how they struggle in the game. You talk about guys finishing plays, finishing drives, doing that. Derrick Henry walks in that building, all of a sudden everything is elevated and everything becomes easier for Dak in that tight red
zone. I'll say the same thing I said earlier about Saquon. That would change the balance of power. If you put Derrick Henry on the Cowboys, suddenly I think they become the team to beat.
Yeah.
In the NFC.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't go that far.
Nope.
Them boys up front in Philadelphia still be a problem.
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry ain't bigger than Jalen Carter and Fletcher Cox.
But he's
I think
close.
It helps. I think it helps, but I do think that anybody you can add Derrick Henry, and it seems like the Titans are definitely in self.
I think about the – go ahead.
No, real quick.
I think about the point. Bringing Derrick Henry in changes the way defenses happen.
Exactly.
Which is the most important thing.
Yeah,
much more as we go on this, but it is the busiest week of the sports year. Let's crash the net. We had the Frozen Frenzy on ESPN last night. Our version of the Hockey Red Zone. Every team in action last night, and here were some of the highlights. In Chicago, the Bruins remained undefeated, beating the Blackhawks 3-0 after setting the points record last year. Boston is now 6-0 this year. Speaking of undefeated, the defending champ said, "Welcome back, Cotter. Paul Cotter, look at this filthy goal to tie it up in the third period." And then with 33 seconds left, Shea Theodore netting the game winner. The Golden Knights beating the Flyers 3-2. Vegas is now 7-0. And in Washington, the great one, Alexander Ovechkin, scoring his first goal of the season. But the Caps lost to the Maple Leafs 4-1. Ovechkin now 71 goals behind the great one, Wayne Gretzky. The record is 894. As we continue, wait till you hear what Coach Prime has to say about the sign-stealing scandal at Michigan. This is going to get spicy in Ann Arbor. Then, sunrise in San Francisco. What happened last night that Brian Windhorst says is a great sign for KD and Devin Booker and the Suns. Swagoo wants in. We're talking hoops.
Let me get in there.
As we get up with you on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back on Get Up, bottom of the hour, looking forward to pancakes this morning, Jeff Saturday. Does this one count as a pancake from Rutgers?
It's a lacre, not quite a pancake, but I like it. It's little man on little man crime, but look at that. That's my pancake. Man, Jeff.
Lacre.
Yeah, pancakes for the big men. It's a little bit carb friendly. That's where we go. Greeny, you know right where that is with the oat milk latte.
Yeah, that's
where we go.
A little crepe Suzette.
Like that, everybody. This
we got
focus feet up.
Pancakes coming up.
Smoked them.
This morning. Don't miss the pancakes. It's everybody's favorite 5 minutes. In the meantime, here we go. NBA action last night. We show it to the Lakers. Now let's show you the Warriors and Suns. Not Kevin great. Durant's first game in San Francisco since leaving Golden State. Steph Curry, Monica, in midseason form.
Yes, indeed. Getting into the paint. Of course, we know about that patented Steph Curry jump shot. He's just an energy bunny.
Meanwhile, Devin Booker on the other side, 21 in the first half. This was a good game throughout. Windy, Kevin Durant did not have a big night, but he knocks down a three here.
Yeah, he goes 7 of 22. No Bradley Beal. The Suns win in San Francisco.
Yeah, they had a 15-point halftime lead, and then they're hanging on. Third quarter, Steph and his new teammate Chris Paul. Chris Paul, struggling last night, took the 0-for from downtown. Steph knocked in one of his four threes. 6 minutes left, we're tied. Durant off the turnover, the dish to Booker. Suns by two, and they would hold it off down the stretch.
I loved this play, Greeny. Like, I just loved the heads-up play, the pass by KD. Book running the floor aggressively.
And Devin Booker running the offense. We'll dive into that in a moment. Dishing for Eric Gordon there. It's a 5-point lead. The Warriors coming back the other way. Steph, step back three. He had 27. It's a 2-point game. 16 seconds left. Looking to close it out are the Suns. Booker. Oh, it's Jusuf Nurkić rolling to the floor. Booker, 32 points, 8 assists. Again, Steph had the 27, and the Suns win. And, Wendy, you were telling me before we came out here this morning, you thought there was one very interesting and potentially good sign for the Suns last night.
Last three possessions of the game, Devin Booker running point. Durant doesn't touch the ball one time. He goes three different ways to three different players. These are the role players that they acquired in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
It works in their first road test. They were able to go through this game and get this done with Booker leading the way. He scored or assisted their last 13 points. That is the Devin Booker they think they're going to get all year. When Bradley Beal gets back and gets integrated in this offense, their margin of error is going to explode, Monica, because they have good role players.
I agree. I'm super excited about this. Humble plug, run the tape on our ESPN YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. We broke this down. These are three guys who at points in their career have all averaged 5 assists or more. And so they have the capability. But the thing about being able to be a playmaker is people have to respect you as a scorer. And baby, if you don't respect Devin Booker as a scorer, you're already in a world of trouble from the gate. And so you think of that last play down the stretch when he finds Nurkić on that cut and how he draws three defenders. And then Nurkić, with his size advantage, in particular against the Warriors, cuts through the lane, finishes with an easy two. Devin is so deliberate about getting to his spots. And even with the best defenders, he's an offensive player. You know what he's going to do. The problem is you still can't stop it.
I've been saying since he got there, Kevin Durant, from the moment he left San Francisco, and at that point it was Oakland, he's been looking for the right teammate. He's been trying to figure out who it is. He's got it now. He found the right guy. Devin Booker is exactly the right guy for him. In the meantime, Monica, and I really appreciate this, and this will serve you well of working for the New York Knicks now. When you asked for your take on the Warriors, you wrote, "Oi, are they small?" She actually wrote, "Oi." Oh, why? That's going to go over well on New York radio. Are they too small?
I'm watching the game yesterday. I'm like, all right, well, this was when they were dynastic. There was this conversation of them playing small ball. But that was, what, 4 years ago? How many miles on their bodies ago? I think Draymond Green back on the floor makes it interesting. But he's already undersized at the position at which he defends, right? I don't know if they have the stamina and the legs of years past in order for this small lineup to work as effectively. Like, size is going to be a problem. You look at the Lakers, you look at the Nuggets, you look at the Suns, like the teams that they're going to be competing with in the West. I'm concerned about this one.
Size is, it's one thing to be small in the front court. You can spread the floor. They're small in the front court and the back court.
Across the board.
Especially if they're going to play Chris Paul with Steph Curry down the stretch of these games. Now, I do think they're going to be a lot better than they showed in this game. They couldn't make a shot. It's one of their worst shooting games they might have all year. But you look at the way the Booker was able to attack, pass over the top. That's because those perimeter players are so small for the Warriors.
Now, you'll look, the rebounding margin is 11 in favor of the Sun. But if you look at points in the paint, it's, you're talking about 4 points difference. And so I just wonder, will they be able to outscore to come up or to make up for the deficit they have?
They're going to have to figure out. You have Chris Paul and Steph Curry on the floor together, obviously, both first ballot Hall of Famers and all-time greats. But that is, that combination is going to take some time to figure out, and obviously size is going to continue to be a problem. Much more from them as we go. And tonight is our opening doubleheader on ESPN and the app. We'll have the Celtics and the Knicks at 7 Eastern. We'll do an NBA countdown from the floor before that game. Malika taking the baton. And then the debut of Wembanyama. Don't miss it tonight. The Spurs hosting Luka and the Mavs. Again, it all begins with NBA countdown for an hour, 6 Eastern, from the Garden tonight. All right, our next stop is Ann Arbor, where the NCAA is investigating Michigan, where a staffer allegedly scouted future opponents in person at games, which would be a violation of NCAA rules. A lot of people are weighing in on this. Among them, yesterday, Colorado coach Deion Sanders. Listen.
You could have someone's whole game plan. They could mail it to you. You still got to stop it. You still got to stop it. So in football, it's not as pronounced as baseball. If I know a curveball is coming, I got you. You know, with football, I don't give a darn if you know a sweep is coming. You still got to stop it. Physically, it's a physical game. You got to stop it. So that's a little tough. I don't buy into a lot of that stuff that someone's stealing this, stealing that.
Okay, so that's one of the most important voices in the sport. You are on board with that, Jeff Saturday?
Oh, first of all, his look.
It's magnificent.
That's
magnificent.
Looking
the white
good.
Shirt.
Oh, yeah, looking sharp. Looking sharp. And 100% true. Like this thing has gotten ridiculous. I mean, first of all, we all played this game for a long time. Every team is stealing signs, right?
Trying to.
And every team's trying to steal checks. They're listening to TV copies about, you know, how quarterbacks are audibling.
They're listening to all this
in the meeting rooms. Like, all of this information you're trying to gather, you understand as a football player, is happening. And every team is doing it. And so that one team is getting singled out, it's just nonsense. Like, at the end of the day, what Deion is saying is 100% true. It is a game about physicality. It don't matter what you know. It's can you stop it or can you execute it? And so we all try. I'm trying to look at DBs, seeing what codes they're giving each other so we know where the blitz is coming from. Louisville, Roger, guess what? I know that means, you know, he's going one direction or the other. It's just the way this thing has taken a life of its own is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, hold on. Okay. So generally speaking, I'm actually on this side. But for the sake of playing a little bit of devil's advocate, he's talking about how in baseball, if I know what pitch is coming, it's a huge advantage. You cannot tell me that if you're playing defense, it is not an advantage to know what play is coming.
I mean, I've done it. We've done it in college and in pros. Just telling me whether it's run or pass, if I'm a linebacker or a safety, if I'm a pass rusher, if I know that I can get a, yeah, it makes a difference. But his point is you still got to beat him, though. And there have been plenty of times in games where we knew the play and we couldn't stop it.
A lot of times.
And there are plenty of times in games where they know what we're doing and they can't stop it because we're that good. But I agree with Jeff. I'm on the side. Everyone's trying to do it. But the fact that they're reacting this way and they all know it suggests to me that there is more to this than we know, because it's not just stealing signs. Like, if they are just stealing signs, we all stealing signs. We all trying to do it. We spent hours watching Colts tape trying to figure out what Peyton Manning's codes were. Then we get out on the field. He ain't say none of the words that you said last week. It's a waste of time sometimes. But in the college level, there's only so much you can put in. So it helps a lot, I think.
I listen, from a football context, I don't even understand stealing signs. I really don't. Like, I looked at this story. I was like, dude, we knew a lot of plays for a lot of teams that we played against, college, pros. And I know I'm saying the same thing you guys said, but when you think about, like, the point of the week is to know what you're doing.
That's right.
Like, that's the point. That's why we spending all of those hours during the week going through every possible situation to know exactly what you're doing. And guess what, G? It happens more than people think. Yeah. I think sometimes when it goes on television and the media picks up on it, it's like, oh, my God. Yeah. Can you believe this team is out there? Bro, we know a lot about what people are doing.
And let's say it this way, too. This is not filming somebody's practice.
That's different.
This is different. Not any of those. Right. This is when you're talking about signs. College coaches, by the way, can vote to have that thing go just like the pros do, into the QB's ear, right? They don't want that vote.
To be clear, there is no helmet technology in the college game, so the coach is not giving a play into the helmet of the quarterback. They're signaling in everything from the sideline.
And every coach wants to be the guy who stands on the sideline and lets to see what the defense is going to adjust to. Then I'm going to give you. We're going to get to the line of scrimmage. Then we're going to execute. Well, if you're going to put your signs out there, they're going to get stolen. Yep. That's part of the business, right? So at the end of the day, if you want to do it like we used to do it back in the day, you whisper it to the wide receiver, he runs it in, gets to the quarterback. If you care that much about signs. But at the end of the day, they know the risk and reward. Put three guys over there doing your signals. Can't nobody figure out which one's doing that.
I hate to be the non-football guy amongst the football guys, but I generally agree with you guys. But what concerns me is all the coaches and all the players and all the conference executives that are talking about this NCAA, they know football. They know that this is happening all the time. The fact that this feels like a bigger deal suggests to me that they know something that we don't know. So right now, with the information that is currently out there, this is much ado about nothing. Yeah. But we're still early in the process.
And Foxy, from your perspective, absolutely, because I think that's why you see me and Jeff's reaction. We like, bro, are y'all shocked that this is going on? So to your point, it may be something else, but what we working with right now is sign stealing. Yeah. Stop it, bro.
And they're, they're going after one program that to your point, I'm doubting very seriously the only program in the country is happening. Like, if we're going to be real, but let me just make this point, though. They can vote at any point to put the mics and the earpieces in the quarterback's helmets. If that's what they want, they choose not to. Yeah. So if that's your choice, you know signs and having to put signs, boards, your picture is at Northwestern, man. I mean, praise God, it's only for a kneel
we
down.
We had a play. That was a play one game. One game. That was the card that they held up. That's me and Teddy Greenstein, and that's the Chicago Blackhawks in the lower right. I can't see enough of the person.
Greeny was like the first. No, that meant big.
I really hope it was a touchdown. but that was a play. All kidding aside, what you were looking at, they were holding up that thing on the sideline, and that was a play. So, I mean, if you could steal that, God bless you. You're right. That should definitely be punt on third down if you're holding up.
You own something, bro.
Yeah,
you
own
something. Because when we were sitting there in 2019 drunk and smoking cigars after LSU won, Clemson knew Jamar Chase was going to get go balls. They knew it. They knew the formation. They knew the play. They knew everything.
Yeah.
He scored three of them.
He's talking about the national championship game when he and I were together and we were on that yak. And,
New Orleans.
There was a celebration going on. All right. We'll have more on that as go. In the meantime, did the Vikings expose Brock Purdy on the Niners? Jerry Jones had something to say about it. Did he take a shot at his own quarterback along the way? So I do wait till you hear this. Plus, Josh Allen and the Bills are in a slump. Is their championship window on the verge of closing? Answering that question next. Get up on ESPN. Right, we are back on Get Up, and it is time for this morning's edition of Sound Off. You will hear interesting people saying interesting things. Let's start with Jerry Jones. After seeing the 49ers' recent struggles, Jerry thinks the Cowboys are capable of beating their rival. Bear in mind, they got smashed by them 3 weeks ago. But as you listen to Jerry here, I want you to consider, does he take a subtle shot at his own quarterback?
I would have liked to have played better against the 49ers. And, of course, watched with interest this entire weekend's games, but certainly that one last night. And you see that it's a team step up there and play like Minnesota did, their quarterback did. But there can be had, the 49ers I'm talking about.
All right, Dominique. I mean, the way the quarterback played, the 49ers can be had. We lost to them 42-10. Talk to me.
Of course the 49ers can be had. It's the NFL. And also, like, Jerry just be talking, man. He just be saying words. he let them fall out, and we figure it out later. I mean, he not taking a shot at the quarterback.
He's not?
The quarterback did play well last night. Like, I think that we can bend this into, oh, he's picking on Dak because we're good at that. However, he's just saying what he saw, and he's right. Kirk Cousins played well. Dak didn't play well before. Dak has played well in the past. I think it's a bit of an overreaction to act like this is something.
Okay, Marcus, saying words. Is something or nothing?
Nothing, G.
Nothing?
No, G, you're not going to bait me into it.
Yeah, he tried.
You're not going to bait me into it. Here's the thing, though. I think what you take away from what you watch Minnesota do to San Francisco, and I think what Dallas did, Dallas played the 49ers with fear. That's how they called the game, offensively. You look at what Justin Jefferson didn't play in this game.
Right.
And Kevin O'Connell said, look, man, Jordan Addison, you got to go, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we gonna push the ball downfield, and you got to go. I think if it's any shot that was taken from Jerry by making that statement, it's that mentally the San Francisco 49ers bind the Dallas Cowboys up when they play each other, and Minnesota wasn't bind up. They went to win the game as opposed to trying to stay in it until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Cousins lit it up. There's no doubt.
Played out of his mind.
Jerry, he played out of his mind. But to everybody's point, they have an interception that gets ripped out of the hand to go for a touchdown.
Yeah.
San Francisco's defense did not play well, missed a ton of tackles, got no pressure on Kirk Cousins. That was not the same look that Dak saw a few weeks ago.
All right, let's see if I can get anyone on this one. Aaron Rodgers, in his regular appearance on the Pat McAfee Show, did a little story time on how his rehab is going.
I'm not walking without a limp yet, but I was joking with my rehab folks and with Doc. When I was flying back for the game on the 15th, I had assumed that I'd left my crutches in the car. And by the time I got to the airport, there were no crutches in the car. And I felt like that was kind of a sign. Okay, you're done with the crutches. So I haven't been on crutches since that day.
It was a sign. It was a sign, people. No crutches. Aaron's coming back. All everything is going well. What do you think of that, Jeff Saturday?
I like it, Green.
Come on, baby.
I told you. I'm with you, man.
With you.
We're back. I don't know when, but we're back.
That man better get on his damn crutches and do what the doctor tell you to do. Ain't no sign because the crutches wasn't in their car. You sit your butt down until somebody go get you some crutches. You ain't magic.
All right, Mr. Pfizer. I'm not interested in any of that.
You're damn
Come
right.
On. Listen, I got three words
and
for
Moderna.
You. Marcus, I got three words for you. He hath risen. I'm telling you right now. He's got Aaron. He's not human.
You're going to lose him.
He's coming
You're
back.
About to lose Bucks. He almost
back.
Left.
Yes.
Listen,
yes.
No. Damn it, G. Damn it. I feel so bad for you.
Why?
You know what's happening to you right now?
What?
This was happening.
Tell me.
Okay. You come from a different place, right? We live across town from each other,
yeah.
Right? And we meet at school,
yeah.
Right? I don't know how we ended up at the same school, but we meet at school.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, like, you go home and you like, Mom and Dad, I met a new friend. Like, it's a big black guy from the hood, and he's really cool, and we're talking, right? And we get going. And then I make you believe that you can come to my house, and you can thrive in there. And you go outside, and you start talking to my friends from where I'm from, like I talk to them.
Yeah.
And then you get beat up, and then you realize, we probably wasn't that good of a friend. That's what Aaron Rodgers is doing to you, G. You got to stop this, man. You got to live in Michael Greenberg's house, man. Don't let this man pull you in his house and get you beat up.
I want to be friends with your friends. I want to. I want to meet your friends, and I want to befriend them. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Spirits are high. Everybody is hungry, and there's only one thing to have for breakfast. It's the pancakes. Let's go. Pancakes is one of our favorite things.
So let me show you how I'm going to get this thing started.
We back, baby!
Bam, bam, bam!
We gotta eat them up!
That's how we start this off.
Let's go!
It's a thing of beauty.
You can't stop us! Dominique Foxworth just spanked pancakes on dinner. We are back!
Can we do one more pick?
Look at Jessica.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
We are fired up.
We
are ready to go. Pancake
we are ready.
Time. Jeffrey, go.
Here we go. It's an all-college edition. Are you spanking? He's smacking the pancake.
I smack the
Francis man. Maui Goa is starting out right here. Look, Miami right tackle. Watch him get through. Bam! Gets up. Right off the jump. Hey, listen. Same arm, same shoulder. This is a D-cleater.
No.
When you go back in the film room, it doesn't get any better than this right here. This is a linebacker that is fully expecting you to block him and still didn't have enough about him to stay on his feet. That is a smoke show. I'm letting you know right now, that right there, it don't get no prettier than that. One pancake, because I got so many good ones today. But you got like, take it. Get in, yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, as we move on, we got a repeat offender, y'all. Patrick Herbert. Yes, Patrick Herbert. Yesterday, he had a big one. Today, he's got another one. Watch him run these things down. Watch him get one. Get one. Get one.
What was he doing?
Get one. Run it. Hustle it. Hustle it. Find it.
What?
Hey, you know what he's telling his boys? He's on his boys like, I didn't see the play. Pow! Hit him on the side of the head. That's what I'm talking about, Herbert. No mercy. No fear. Just run through him. Look, he was trying to help his boy. Get it. Get it. You got to love this. Hey, two for him because he had a great day yesterday, too. So I had to give him some love right there. We got some, now we're going to three pancakes right here. On my men boy, look right here.
Three
Missouri, watch. Get one, run him, dump him. Dump him on his back. My favorite part is hands inside. Didn't finish. Finish him. Dump him on there.
Oh.
Look right. When you finish him running up the gut, there's nothing better. Have a nice little double team and then finish him again. That's a big boy. And he sees it and feels it and knows it. You got to let him have it. Give it to him. You gotta love it. Three college ones, but ain't nothing better. Smoke shows. Smoke shows. Yes, sir.
When he knows it's coming and you got what is he? What are you yelling at him?
Yeah, yeah. You gonna get it. Feel it. Receive it. That's what you gave him. You won't feel it. Receive it, sir. Ain't nothing better. Don't fight it.
Receive it. We got our slam dunks working. Speaking of slam dunks, LeBron James is back. The Lakers not better than ever. Tons of drama on opening night. The highlights are next. Get up on ESPN. Yeah.
Time to clean up the cakes.
Yeah.
Gotta clean up the cakes.
Got them.
Got them.
Oh, that was fun.
Gotta spike them cakes.